Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and catch your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I have with us a national multifamily consultant, Mr. J.B. Data-Durham. J.B., welcome to the show today.
Del, thank you so much for having me, and what another great day it is to be a real estate investor, not only in Texas, but across America. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, I want to cover something a little different today. I know you like to get into the data and you like to talk about all the facts and figures, but I'm thinking the listeners out there, JB, need something completely different than that because, you know, until they're already in the business, hearing all the data about the business is really not as important as really the gut-wrenching reality of why people get into this business. And I know a little bit about your story. You've told it to me a couple times, but it was never really deeply explained on the radio. And I know myself, I started out with purchasing single family houses. And then after I did single family houses, I bought a 10 unit and then I bought a 20 unit and literally then I bought a 30 unit and it sounds impossible, but then literally I bought a 40 unit. It's kind of weird, but that's the way it worked. Then I bought a 64 unit, then a 68 unit, then an 88 unit. And then I bought a 107 unit and then a 140 unit and then a 256 unit, then a 270 unit and then a 320 unit. And so I had this natural progression of a type B personality that just went from one to the other. But the point I'd like to zone in on today, JB, is that I was never more happy than when I owned my first or second small apartment complex. And for the first time, I had a manager and maintenance staff, and money just rolled in the door. It was so different than when I had houses where, you know, don't get it wrong, I love the houses. I did very little work to manage over 100 houses. I mean, it spent probably 4 or 5 hours a week to manage 100 houses. But there was something different about walking on site to a place that was all mine, that I dictated the quality and the look and the feel, and the customers were like a family in this location, and I was like the parent of the location, if that makes any sense at all. It's probably a bad analogy, but because you don't really want to adopt these people. But in some way, they look to you for their lifestyle and environment, which means that it's a whole different thing in life. You're stepping up in this world to be an owner of something. You're stepping up in this world to take on the responsibility of, you know, others. And so I wanted you to take us through your path because you spent all this time in corporate America real estate, which I didn't spend any time in. And you somehow broke out of it because, you know, you look at Johnny Lama. Johnny couldn't break out of it until I got a hold of him. Other people we know that were John's and yours friends and, you know, work acquaintances to this day are still grinding at the stone and haven't figured out how to go out there and do what those of us that just went out and lucked into it or just worked our way into it got to. And so I want you to explain to people what it's like to be on that corporate side. No matter how much you love your job, how did you transition over? Did you go through houses first? Did you ever do houses? Did you do apartments? What have you done where you were in the same struggle that everybody listening to this radio show right now was in? Share that story with us, JB.
Wow, what a great story. And you know, I'm originally from East Texas, and I grew up in the Northeast with my mother and dad, and then we slowly transitioned one day down to Florida, and that's where I finished my high school education and attended college and at Florida State University. But, you know, the key really for me, when I look back at it, and I get this question quite often, is one of the fundamental blocks is that I was blessed to be a second-generation real estate investor. Now, I had to take action. But my mother and dad bought their first piece of real estate the day I was born, within that month, 53 years ago. And they were 19 at the time, but they realized that they had to have their money work for them while they still worked for their money. And so that type of innate learning from a young age of learning through observation, there was always somebody coming by on Saturday to pay their rent, or we had projects to on these pieces of real estate that my parents had. And so they really started this paradigm shift for themselves and obviously for me. And quite frankly, you know, I have three children and they're in their young adult years, and they're all related in the apartment industry through property management and in certain service industries.
But, tell us about your parents. What kind of properties did they own, and how did they get into it? I mean, obviously there weren't any training classes back then, this kind of stuff.
No.
What did they buy, and how did they get into it?
It was trial by error. It was trusting somebody that, yeah, we're going to pay you on Friday. It was trying to figure out somebody just moved out and didn't pay and broke something, and how do we remarket that property? Luckily, you know, my grandfather was kind of a handyman and wasn't working, so he kind of became that person that was out there trying to make things happen. But we moved quite often as a young man, and my dad kept getting promoted. So every market we were in, whether it was Western Pennsylvania or Charlotte or New York City or New Jersey, he consistently found something to put his money to work. And he started building that capital and that equity. Every time we moved, he had a house to sell plus some rental property, and we'd go to that new location, and he would reinvest and start that wheel. And boy, that really, really impacted me when I started seeing the financial aspect of what we were buying these for, what we were selling them for, how that accumulated cash flow provided things for my sisters and I. You know, I had at one time had a career path in college, but I certainly switched to business once it really caught on for me. So I think that foundation of being that second generation really helped me. And then back
JB,
in the
JB
day,
just for the demonstration, what was that career path? I think I remember you telling me you were going to be a preacher.
No, I had a grandmother that said, you're either going to be a preacher or a politician. I certainly had some leadership skills and the gift of gab, but I settled in the middle to be a property manager. And it's a little bit of laying on of hands when you're squeezing that neck of that customer. And it's a little bit of unfulfilled promises as a politician. That certainly is juggling resources and trying to get things done. But, you know, what happened is in the 80s, the Forbes richest people, there was a big conglomerate of people that were real estate related. And that really influenced me, as you know, well before the dot-com era. And I saw people in the real estate business and what their lifestyle was. And I decided I wanted to try that. And so it really started as a part-time gig with a free apartment as a leasing agent. And I eventually became the assistant manager of 60 units, then the manager of 80 units in Tallahassee, Florida, associated with Florida State University. And I just applied business principles. I had had entrepreneurial things in the past. I had a bicycle company, and we rented jet skis, and I was always the kid out there shoveling snow or cutting grass. And so I decided to finish my school. Started as a leasing agent, worked my way through the industry, And what really impressed me during that time period were two things. One was the price point. You know, when you are in today's world, our customers have to make three times the rent to afford that, to qualify for that apartment. I don't know any business where you get one-third of somebody's income and you don't even have to be there most of the time. And I remember at the time I had a side business selling hot dogs, Dale. You know how many hot dogs you got to sell to get one-third of somebody's income? And so it just kind of fell together. And then what happened, which changed the whole industry, was in 86, the Tax Reform Act. And all of a sudden, overnight, it became a cash flow business rather than a write-off. And the little old little old ladies that couldn't sell real estate, that were the redheaded stepchild in the property management business, really couldn't cut it. They didn't understand cash flow and how to make those decisions. And they were really order takers. They weren't decision makers. That changed the industry. And I happened to be right there when that was going on.
And I think that's a good place, JB. I think that's a good place to go ahead and break in here. We've got to take a short break. Our number here is 866-945-6565. Feel free to call in during the break. The lines are open. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for over 25 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 10 of the last 10 years. It's easy to see why Think Realty Magazine named us the best in the U.S. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Talk 13-7, the right choice. Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. With me today is JB Data Durham. And JB, when we went to break, we were discussing how 1986, I believe it was, the Tax Reform Act changed the way people operated their real estate. You want to pick it up right there?
Certainly, certainly. And so at that point, the business became a cash flow environment and not a write-off. And so it changed the industry for sure. And it was something I was able to take advantage of. Some of the other property managers in the industry just weren't acclimated to really the cash flow formula, which is the same cash flow formula that you and I use today. And so I just began to really kind of master that. And then I grew within the management industry. And what I quickly realized is that if you do a great job as a third-party manager, we manage for other people, if you did a great job and increased the operations, which inherently increased the cash flow or the value, eventually they sold to capture that value. So you could work your way out of a job doing a great job. And then if you were in a tough market and maybe the property wasn't performing as to the way it was planned or pro forma or budgeted, a lot of times you were the excuse, you were the reason. So if it was a poorly run property in a poor market, undercapitalized, you could work your way out of a job. And of course, if you weren't doing a good job, you could work your way out of a job. So it was a constant turnover of assets, regardless of how we performed or what kind of market you were engaged in. And what was unique for me is that I started in the industry on site. And I really just applied basic fundamentals and had some great mentoring with my mother and dad as business leaders, with people that were in the industry. And I really observed a lot of things not to do and just really wanted to work hard to provide a quality product and great service. And it was a lot of fun, Dell. I managed almost 2,000 units right across from Sorority Row at Florida State University. So that was always a fun trip to make sure that pool temperature was perfect on that street.
Sure was. I'm going to stop you right there, JB, because I don't want to go down that road too much further yet. We'll come back to that road. I'm going to stay on one topic, and then I'm going to drag you backwards. Well, actually, might be dragging you forwards into the next time. But let's go back to this concept. When I first started investing in real estate, people were buying real estate based on the fact that there is so much of a tax deduction on it that you could literally lose money and make money on your taxes, because the tax rate was like 94% marginal tax rate. So top-end guys that made a lot of money were losing 50 to 90% of their income. So if you went out here and you lost money in real estate, it didn't matter because you'd get it back in taxes. And with the fact you could get a 90% down or 90% loan-to-value loan, you put down 10%, you could get that 10% down payment back simply by the tax benefits you got that year. Now, when all that changed in 86, all these people like you're talking about didn't understand, because the way properties were valued is how much was the next stupid guy willing to pay you for that property. There was massive appreciation. In fact, at that time, they called it inflation. And people were paying more and more and more every year for these things, because the more they paid, the more deductions they got. And they had accelerated depreciation models. And so people didn't care. But then when all that died, real estate values became tied to net operating income. In other words, the profitability of the property. And nobody knew how to do that. Now, that's what you just said. I've reiterated it, but I'm going to take it one step further. Is that was when I got into real estate. Because that was when people started selling properties based on income. And I was able to go out and buy apartment complexes with a 20% cap rate, which, in other words, if you paid cash for it, you're making 20%. You put any kind of leverage on it at all, you were making 30 or 40 or 50% returns. It was ungodly what was happening, because people were ignorant. They were no longer getting any tax deductions. They had no idea how to increase income or make the thing profitable. So they were just dumping them. And I walked right into that dump, if that makes any sense, JB. I walked right into it in my career because simply I was at the right place at the right time, again, with what you're saying, with a business model that you buy a business to make money. So that, I think, is a very big point you're making right there. Now, you went through that while you were in the industry. I went through that as a buyer on the outside of the industry, looking at the people in the industry going, boy, these guys are idiots. They have no idea what they're doing, because this is really all about making money. And I didn't even learn for the next 5 or 10 years that if you increase the NOI, that the value goes up. So what happened was, after I got into apartments, I had been in real estate for 10 years, you raised that NOI, and I was adding $1 million worth of value to a property just by increasing the rents by $50 to $100 a month. And it was just massive. So you went through that on the inside. I went through that on the outside. Now we're going to pick it back up and say, okay, where did you get the connect that you could do it? Because up until that time, you were doing it for other people, and nobody else was doing it. You were able to do it. You were smart enough to figure that out, pick it up just like I did, and you were able to make them a lot of money. When did you pick it up that you were making them millions and not just a good paycheck?
Well, you're exactly right. When that change in the industry happened and it became a scientific mathematical formula, that's when I started seeing the zeros. That's when, and so my customers went from the students at the university or the on-site residents and doing a great job there. I grew through the industry, and then my customers became the owners. And so, you know, some of the richest people in those areas of town were now one-on-one customers, and I sat at the table with them as they bought and sold real estate. I sat there and watched, looked at these HUD settlement statements, and just blew my mind about how much money was transferring and what our company did or the property management did to facilitate that. So I immediately knew that, man, I've got to get on the other side of that table. And, you know, John Ridgway knew that. Everybody at that level in our industry, they still know that today. They just can't figure it out. And it's very rewarding to facilitate the achievement of wealth for other people. But, boy, when they pull off with that barrel full of money and you're still there, that was a little disheartening. So
I have to tell you, JB, in my X number of years of doing this now, 25 years, especially in the last 10 to 15 since we've been doing these apartment deals, I can't tell you how many people who were employees in the business, whether it be real estate agents and brokers, or whether it be on-site employees, or whether it be supervisory material, or whether it be even vice presidents of property management companies. I can't tell you how many people sat in that seminar and broke down and cried when they realized what they had missed and what was going on around them. And they were not getting a taste of any of the medicine as it was coming out of the bottle. They were just sitting there with the fever, but no medicine. We're going to take a short break, JB. We come back, we'll pick it up right there, and we'll get into what you did then after you realized that you were being kept on the wrong side of the table. If you'd like to ask JB or myself any specific questions, our phone lines are open. We'd love to answer your questions for you. This radio show is for you. We want to get you involved in real estate, whether it's single family or multifamily or what. Our number here is 866-945-6565. JB is our national multifamily consultant, so he's got a lot of information. So hang in there, stay with us, and we'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Oh, here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me today is J.B. Data Durham, our multifamily, national multifamily consultant. J.B. sharing his story with us today about how he got into the real estate business. So, J.B., we're going to pick it back up there where you're saying you were sitting on the wrong side of the table and you finally realized that. Let's talk about the actual physical steps that occurred from there. Psychologically, also, where did you go? And how did you start manifesting some of this stuff?
Certainly. And to kind of review, you know, I had that mentality, that innate learning from my mother and dad being a potential second-generation real estate investor. The industry changed. with the Tax Reform Act. I certainly recognize the price point of our industry being able to earn one-third of somebody's income in today's market. And then, you know, as I'm sitting across the table, helping these very wealthy people buy more and more assets, I became aware of one single document that seemed to be the key that everybody needed to have to qualify for these loans, and it was the balance sheet. And, of course, I grew up like everybody else where, hey, that's accounting. You're not smart enough. You need to get an accountant to help you with that. And I just really I went to our accounting staff and asked their opinions and really dove into the simplicity of the balance sheet. It's obviously just, you know, addition and subtraction and sometimes a little bit of a division. But I just realized what those assets meant. And I went back and looked at the file of some loans where some of our customers had bought a building 3 years ago and were buying a building back then in the 90s, early 90s or late 80s, and how their balance sheet had changed dramatically. And to me, I recognized that the assets I wanted on my balance sheet, which were consistent with these rich people and these millionaires, were things that appreciate, and the other key is cash flow day one. And to get there, I had to save. That's how most people get there. Unless you inherit it, you're cheap, you're frugal, you like nice things, but you really have a focus on that balance sheet mentality. And that light went off for me, and that's when my wife and I really started to save as much as we could, because I realized I needed a down payment to make that transition.
And so how old were you then, JB? What age was this?
20, epiphany? The balance sheet discussion with me started when I was about 25. Now, I was married, and obviously we were planning on children, had one on the way, and so I had to grow up. I don't know that I've fully grown up even today, but I certainly started paying attention to things that were going to impact my future family. And I cross-referenced that with these wealthy people that I was interacting with, and not only their balance sheet and their wealth, but, man, their lifestyle. They had the freedom to do whatever, whether they wanted to apply themselves in their assets or whether they wanted me to handle things so that they could go wherever they wanted to go and do whatever they wanted to do. So that matrix of those two things really drove me to continue to be frugal and conservative. And so we knew that's how you do it. Now friends in the industry, my peer group, certainly the peer group within the different firms I was with, but also in the industry, everybody began to enrich themselves and buying bigger houses and brand new cars, expensive new cars. And, you know, that really scared me to have that big of an asset on my balance sheet that was depreciating so rapidly. So we had nice things. We never had a new car. We had nice homes. We just continued to save until the opportunity presented itself where we could really make that jump and deploy those funds. And I didn't have my income covered like you did when you left the gym industry, but I knew I had enough money in the bank that I could get out there and make some things happen. And I had my eye on several properties to deploy initial funds. And so that's what we did. I was a professional property manager from 1984 through 1996 in the corporate world. And I managed and lived in Tallahassee, Florida, and managed several thousand units throughout the state. Then a headhunter took me to the Hampton Roads part of Virginia, which is Virginia Beach and Williamsburg and Portsmouth, Newport News. I managed a little over 10,000 units there with the help of a great team. Then another headhunter took me to the Atlanta market, and I managed several thousand units there with the help of a great team. And I got to tell you, you know, that's where I met my good friend and your good friend, Johnny Lama Ridgway. And John was a shining light for me when we worked together there. He has still to this day, he's the consummate professional, extreme moral integrity, and what a great analyst and what a great operator. And finally today, he can add fantastic real estate investor to his resume as well, thanks to your help and his ability to apply himself. So John and I worked in Atlanta back in the early 90s. From there, I joined a group and started as the only employee for their Michigan operation. We did a market study, and the easiest market for entry at that point in the early 90s was sunny Detroit, Michigan. My wife is from the beaches of Florida, so that was a very cold summer for her. And we began to market for management there. Through that endeavor, and over about 9 months, I developed a nice little book of business, several thousand apartment units and a couple of commercial buildings. And I met a fellow there that had some properties in the mid-cities of Dallas-Fort Worth and began to manage those in late 90 and moved down there in 91 and started a fee business there, where our objective was to solely manage for others and not be competitors in the investment market. And luckily, I was able to entice John Ridgway. He and his family at that point moved to Dallas. He had family. His dad lives in the mid-cities, very prominent businessman there. So it was really rewarding to have John come to Texas. And with the help of a great team, boy, we had a lot of fun. Both made some pretty good money and some great contacts. It was a good time back in those days in the early 90s. A lot of things were happening in Dallas-Fort Worth.
So, JB, I've noticed this. You brought it up. You mentioned it, but I've noticed it. What is it about the property management industry, the commercial side of it, fee-for management companies, where the guys, the up-and-coming people that are running these companies are kind of instantaneously gratificationally diseased? They're like, they live paycheck to paycheck even when they make $100,000, $200,000 a year. What is it about that industry that drives that type of lifestyle?
You know what? It's not only that industry. I see it across the board, particularly in North Texas, and I know you do down in Houston as well. We just have this hyper consumption society, and if you get caught up in it, hell, you're supposed to have a new car every day, which is the single worst asset in my mind on a balance sheet. And credit's everywhere. I know when you and I grew up, there was no credit. If you couldn't afford something, you didn't buy it. We have people that are leveraging televisions. They got to have the newest Ultra 4D, whatever, and they got to put it on a credit card to get it while you and I are leveraging real estate. And it's just a disease, and it's a mindset, and it's a paradigm. Man, I had a conversation just this week with somebody in my peer group who's a little bit older than I am and was inquiring about what I was doing and asking about my good friend, John Ridgway, how he was doing. And this poor fella, he says, you know what, I ran into so-and-so, and he's just like you guys. He said he retired 8 years ago. And I asked him, I said, wow, you're too young to retire. In his mind, retirement is Social Security drafting, getting that check. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, you're too young to retire. And he said, I can't believe what he told me. I said, what'd he tell you? He said, oh, it's not an age, it's the amount of money you need to live on. And this friend of mine just said, that blew my mind. He said, I'm going to retire in 8 more years. And he looked old and tired and haggard already. And I said, why 8 years? Do you have a plan? And he said, yeah, in 8 years I can draw the most I can from Social Security. And I felt so sorry for him. Here's a guy I've known 30 years that is not balance sheet affluent. He's income addicted. I don't know what he's making, but I know in the years, if he were part of the peer group I was, there were years he should have made $300,000-$500,000. Well, when I was making that, boy, we saved every penny. We socked it away, continuing to live beneath our means. And here's a guy that just, as you said, very sad. Now, he's in his late 50s. And he really doesn't have anything to show for it. It's very sad.
Well, we're going to take a break there, JB. We got one more segment where JB is going to go into his personal investments, how he stepped through that, and what he believes in his own side of investing. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me today is JB Data Durham, which is our multifamily consultant for our national department. JB, we got one segment left. I got to get it out of you. You got to squeeze it out of you. It's like squeezing a tube of toothpaste with the cap on. It just keeps bulking up, but it's not getting out. Let's pull out of you today here. What was the first stuff you purchased? How did you break the seal? We want to know.
Well, I saved some money, and we started buying single-family homes in and around Florida State University in 1988. From that point, I became an absentee landlord because my family and I relocated to the Virginia Beach area, then to Atlanta, and then to that sunny location of Detroit, Michigan, and then, of course, down to Dallas. So we got our feet on the ground, and we started selling some of those single-family houses that we had accrued over in the Florida market. Actually did 1031 exchanges. And bought my first building in 96 in downtown Grapevine, a sleepy little town. What a great location, 24 units. Maybe 6 months later, the spring, I'm guessing, of 97-ish, 1031, the rest of the single family, and got into a 36-unit building. We still own both of those today. They're tremendous assets. And then soon
what
after
was your,
that,
what was your, go ahead. Oh, you got another one you purchased? Good, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then 6 months later, we bought 80 units. About maybe less than a year later, we bought 140 units. This was just my wife and I as partners. So some of those, we did some profit taking in 06, 07, just before the lending markets froze and we had an oversupply. So that was fortuitous timing on that point. And, we've just always been real estate investors, which shocks some people is that, I've never had a 401k. I've never had an IRA. I've never owned one piece of a publicly traded stock. Now, I've had some privately held companies that I've been investors and operators and shareholders in. But my wife and I, when we had extra money, we'd either buy another building, or we pay down some debt, or, hey, we came up with the concept, let's just start improving these interiors. And so a nicer appliance package, maybe an upgraded bathroom, and, boy, that took off like wildfire. So that became our investment vehicle is our apartments.
Now, I've heard that from people that have seen your properties that they're very nice and that you take a lot of pride in them and you've maintained them. How long have you owned these things now?
Well, the ones that we still have today, some of the older ones we've had since 96 or 97. I've always learned the hard way through observing, just like John and I both did, to make sure they're well capitalized. That's what ends the ownership. That's the death spiral for an apartment partnership or the lifespan of an apartment is when you don't have enough capital, when you need that new roof and can't afford it, that's when it sells. So we've always been conservative with our financing. And I like nice things. I like people that like nice things. As far as my customers, and I really want to be a market leader. We charge the most rent of any other property in our micro markets, but we really feel strongly that you get a tremendous product and really phenomenal service. Our team that does it for us and have been doing it for well over 15, 16 years, they're totally empowered to buy whatever they need to get to make that customer happy. So we're really appreciative of our team of employees and vendors and contractors that service our assets. We're like you in most cases. We're long-term owners. I can't imagine not having these assets because that's what gives me the freedom to do nothing or to take those leadership qualities that I have and apply them in other areas. Very appreciative of the opportunity I have at Lifestyles. It is so rewarding to work with Cy and Jason in Iowa, just closed on their first building a couple weeks ago, to work with Francisco in Miami, who's really working hard to close on his first property. You know, we've got Steve over in Phoenix, Arizona, who's been an independent and is looking to be a steward of money. He's going to be coming to the Dallas office to visit with our team in April. We've got some great members in Atlanta, Jimmy and Vanessa. They're on the verge of acquiring their first asset. Great young man in Orlando, Mark. Another longtime member, Richard, that transferred recently to Tampa from Dallas. And, boy, he's getting active over there. And then a hotbed of activity up in Michigan, Greg Scott and his family. I just had a one-on-one session with Greg yesterday, and, wow, he is going to be a fantastic steward of money. And then locally this last week, I've been working with Kevin and Lori and DFW and Kyla and Kale and Dan and Karen, all these couples. You know, they're breaking the paradigm for their families. They're making that selfish choice to save that money, deploy it into real estate. Now, none of these people will probably ever spend the wealth they're going to create. But, boy, what they're doing there for their families and the other families, it's very, very rewarding.
Yeah, that was going to be the next question I asked you. I'm glad you picked that up, was the freedom, because I know that from that point where you had those apartment complexes, your life changed. There was no more corporate America. I remember a funny story. I don't think we have time to give it today, maybe another day, where you told your boss to get out of your car as you're driving from the airport.
Yeah, you know, that was a fun day.
I love that story.
That was a fun day, yeah.
Yeah, so to be able to have your boss pick you up at the airport, or you pick him up and you tell him to get the hell out of the car, I mean, that's a great day. For anybody out there.
That was when I cut the umbilical cord. And if I hadn't saved my way to have the confidence to make that decision, and I got to tell you, it was rewarding to go from servicing residents, very rewarding, to servicing owners and very rich people and watch them fight and bicker and some of them do things that lack integrity. Now I'm back to just servicing our residents again. And little old ladies with leaky toilets and faucets and caring about them and being that steward of their lifestyle and managing the way they live, that's very rewarding for our family and our employees. So we take it very seriously.
Well, JB, I want to thank you for being on. I want to thank you for your time you shared today and the story you shared today, because I think it's going to touch some people's life. You know, you got to understand everybody's a little different. Every person that shares their story might be able to take another 100 or 1,000 other people and go, boy, that's just like me. So thanks for being on today. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. JB and I don't do this just for some more money. We do this to create an incredible lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.